Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful idea that I think carries with it a profound message for this week after Tisha B'Av. Tosfos Maseches Brachos cites the notion that the reason we recite Kaddish in Lashon Arami is because Kaddish is a very special tefillah, so we want to say it in a way that the Malachim won't even understand it. The Chazal tell us, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos and elsewhere, that the Malachi Asharis are not Mevinim B'Lashon Arami, they're not Niskakim L'Lashon Arami, which according to many Rishonim means they don't understand Lashon Arami. So we want to say Kaddish, which is such an exalted tefillah, in a language that the angels won't understand, so that the angels won't get jealous of us. Tosfos, however, says, even though the Torah quotes this idea lahalacha, Tosfos is unsatisfied with this explanation. After all, Tosfos says, "Hari kamat tefilos yafos shehin b'lashon ivri." There are plenty of beautiful, wonderful tefilos that we say in Hebrew. Apparently, we're not afraid of the malachim understanding those. Why don't we hide other tefilos from the angels as well? Why don't we hide Shmona Esrei from the angels? Why is it only the tefillah of Kaddish? Why is Kaddish singled out as the one tefillah that the malachim are likely to get jealous of us for? The Gemara, in that same daf from Maseches Brachos, on that same Gemara that Tosfos is commenting on, tells us a fascinating story. Tells us, Amar Rabbi Yossi tells us, Pam Achas, one time, he shares with us an experience that he had. He was traveling along the road, and he had to go daven, so he didn't want to daven on the road. He went into a churva, a dilapidated ruins of something, of some building, on the side of the road. But Elio Zachar Latov, Elio Anavi, came to protect him while he was in there. And then he carried on a conversation with Elio Anavi afterwards. Vomerly, and Elio Anavi said to me, Rabbi Yossi reports, Bini, Ma kol shamata b'churvazu? When you were in that churva, what did you hear? V'amarti lo, and I told him, shamati baskol. I heard a baskol, a heavenly voice, shemina hemes kiyona, that was groaning like a dove. V'omeres, and it was saying, oy lebanim, woe unto the children, shebav onoseim, echrafti asbesi, that in their sins I've destroyed my home. Va'amar li, and Elio and Avi said to me, chayecho v'chaye roshcha, lo sha'azu b'lvad omeres kach, ela b'chol yom v'yom gimel pa'amim omeres kach. You think the Baskol only says that now, while you were in the churva? I have news for you. Three times a day, every day, the Baskol says that. V'lozu b'lvad, and not only that, but there's another secret you should be aware of. Ela b'sha'a she'Yisrael nichnasin lebatei knesios ulebatei medrashos, when the Jewish people go into their shuls and their batei medrash, va'onin, and they say, Yehei shmei agadol mevorach, and they say, Yehei shmei rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu minanea rosho. God shakes his head, va'omer, and he says, Ashrei ha'melech shemekalsin oso bebeso kach. Fortunate is the king who's praised in his house in this way. Ma lo la'av shehigla esbanav. Why does the father have to exile his children? And woe unto the children that have been exiled from their father's table. The Gemara is perplexing for a number of reasons. First of all, if you're going to explain the phrase and speak about the milos of the phrase of Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, shouldn't the word Amen be in there? The Gemara only tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach, but not to the Amen. Why is the Amen not a critical part of that phrase? Furthermore, why does it begin with speaking about a king, Ashrei HaMelech, and then switch to a father, Malo La'av? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to us as a king to his Am, or is he relating to us as an Av to his children, a father to his children in this Gemara? What does Yehei Shmei Rabba do for us? Which element of the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meant to be highlighted over here? Why does the Gemara shift in midstream? The Gemara Maseches Gittin records that there were many great deeds that the Bnei Yerushalayim had done around the time of the Churban. And the Gemara concludes with the following conversation. It's a question that's almost impossible to answer when it's asked, but Chazal, I guess, had a little more confidence in answering these types of questions. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, U'me'achar davut tzadikim kuleihai, my time al yanush. He essentially asks him, tzadik v'ralo, I don't understand. If there were such great tzadikim, if the people in the times of the Churban were doing such wonderful things, well then, why were they punished so terribly? Amalei, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye, Mishum delo'i avul al Yerushalayim. it's because they were not misabel on Yerushalayim. They didn't mourn Yerushalayim as they should have. Dechsev simchos Yerushalayim v'gilu ba'kalav aveha. The Gemara is somewhat perplexing. If these people are in fact tzaddikim, how could they have neglected to mourn properly over the Beis HaMikdash? We, who are living thousands of years later, have never experienced what the Beis HaMikdash meant, just experienced a day of fasting and mourning over its loss. And yet there are people who saw the Beis HaMikdash in its glory, in all of its glory. They saw it functioning. They saw Kohanim Bavodasim Leviim Beduchanam. They knew what it meant for Klal Yisrael. They neglected to mourn over its loss. The people living right after the Churban didn't mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Extremely difficult. So again, to review, three basic questions. First, why is it that Kaddish is singled out as the one tefillah that we need to hide from the angels? Second, how come in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, the words Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach cause a certain reaction in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Gemara relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first as Ashrei HaMelech, who's praised with the phrase, and then switches to Malo La'av, the father who had to send his children into Galus. And finally, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin, that tells us about the generation right after the Churban, how could it possibly be that what Rav Yosef says is true, that the generation right after the Churban did not mourn Yerushalayim properly? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that we can answer all of these questions based on the following yesod. The Gra in his commentary to Musaf of Yontov explains the phrase Galei Kvod Malchuscha Aleinu in the following manner. The Gemara Chagigah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis points out a discrepancy between the descriptions of Yecheskel and Yeshayahu of the Chayos in the Maisa Merkava. We know both Yecheskel and Yeshayahu, Yecheskel in Perek Aleph, Yeshayahu in Perek Vav, I believe, both see the same vision. They both see the Maisa Merkava. But there are a number of discrepancies between the two descriptions of the Maisa Merkava. And one of them is as follows. Yeshayahu reports that he saw Sheish Knafayim La'echad. Each of the Chayos, these holy angels, had six wings, while Yecheskel reported seeing Va'arba Knafayim La'achas Lahem. Each one had four wings. To resolve the discrepancy, the Gemara points out that Yeshayahu's prophecy took place when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the heavenly legions were at their full strength, whereas Yecheskel's vision took place just before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the heavenly legions were crippled and weakened already, as it was already a time of Churban. The Gra explains that the six wings represent the six words in the phrase Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. With the Churban HaBayis, the words Kvod Malchuso are removed, and the heavenly angels are left with four wings. The words Kvod Malchuso no longer part of the phrase. These words were removed because it's only when the Beis HaMikdash is at full strength that the majesty of God is in full effect and is fully recognizable. Now that the Kisei is not Shalem, God acts toward us less like a king, less with less majesty, no more Kvod Malchuso, and more like a father to a son. Based on this idea, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, we can answer all of the questions we began with. If we were to take the words of Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach Li'olam Li'olmei Almaya and translate them into Hebrew, we would have the phrase Yehi Shmo HaGadol Mevorach Li'olam Va'ed, which is essentially identical to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, except without the words Kvod Malchuso. When we say Yehi Shmei Rabba, God responds by commenting, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsin Oso Bibeso Kach. Wow, it would have been so much better if I would have been praised in the Beis HaMikdash in this way, because then you would have been able to say the entire phrase, including Kvod Malchuso. You wouldn't have to cut it down, trim it down to fit the times without the words Kvod Malchuso. In fact, Rashi on that Gemara in Brachos, commenting on the words Ashrei HaMelech, writes, Ashrei Kol Zman Shehayakilu Zeh B'toch Beis HaMikdash. Fortunate was I when this praise was offered in the Beis HaMikdash, because then it was even better. It included the Kvod Malchuso. and it's obvious that the Gemara deliberately leaves out the word amen from the phrase, because that's not the focus at all. The focus is on the part of the phrase that mirrors Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. The reason that this phrase is singled out as something that must be hidden from the Malachi Asharis, more so than any of the other beautiful tefillos that we say, is now clear based on the following Medrash. The Medrash tells us, Shema Yisrael, Rabbanan Amrin, B'shah Sha'ala Moshe Lamarom, when Moshe went up to the heavens, Shama L'Malachi Asharis, Sheyor Omel Nakadosh Baruch Hu, he overheard the angels telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Aliyolim Ve'ed. So he heard that praise, he heard that tefillah, and he was so invigorated by it, he was so excited by it. V'hurido Sal Yisrael, he brought it down to the Jewish people. V'lama Ein Yisrael Omrin Al Sabi Farhesya, why don't we say that phrase out loud? Amar Ravasi L'mad Dover Dom Ravasi says, I'll give you a mashal. It's like if a guy were to break into the palace of the king and steal a precious piece of jewelry. And he goes in and gives it to his wife. And he says to her, don't wear this publicly because they're going to realize that I stole it from the king. But if you ever want to feel like royalty, inside your home, in privacy, put this on and it will make you feel so special. But on Yom Kippur, when we're like Malachi Asharis, then we're allowed to express it publicly. This special treasure, this tefillah of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Aliyolam Ve'ed. Now we understand very well. Since we stole the phrase Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Aliyolam Ve'ed, that phrase is said quietly, and any remnant or mirror image of that phrase needs to be hidden from the Malachim. So which tefillah is it that needs to be hidden from the Malachim? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivorach Li'olam Lol Me'al Maya. It's Yehei Shmei Rabba of Kaddish that we can't reveal to the Malachim that we have, because we've stolen it from them. What made the Malchus of God complete when he had the Beis HaMikdash was the constant Kiddush Hashem that was created by the functioning of the Beis HaMikdash. Josephus tells us that Romans were amazed when they saw that the service in the Beis HaMikdash was carried out without a sound being made, as everybody knew what their job was and how to do it. There was no instructions, no one had to ask, where do I go from here? Everyone was such a bucky in what was expected of them. When the Jews were Ola L'Regel, it was a time to become inspired, and by expressing this inspiration, to enhance Kavod Shemayim. So when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, we not only lost the opportunity to become inspired, but it was a tremendous loss of an opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is no doubt that the righteous people of Yerushalayim expressed a profound sense of grief over the loss of the opportunity for themselves to thrive in Ruchnius. But perhaps, caught up with their own grief, what they failed to be misabel over was the galusa de shchinta, the loss of kvod shamayim that resulted from the Chorban. And that is perhaps why the phrase Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach has such significance in the eyes of God. It's not a prayer for our own well-being, but a prayer for the well-being of the Shechina, which is the true tragedy of Chorban Abayis. We're very often self-centered in our focus over the avelus of the Chorban Abayis. It's not only about us. It's not only about the fact that we're not able to thrive, that we're not able to grow, that we're not able to do what a Jew is meant to do without the Beis HaMikdash. But the focus is also on the Ribono Shel Olam and the fact that the Shechina is also in Galus. And perhaps that's the double nechama that we begin to receive in this week's Parsha, in this week's Haftorah rather. Nachamu, nachamu. We need a double nechama. A nechama on the loss of our own ability to rise to spiritual heights, and a nechama upon the loss of the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim.